Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today, I'm going to share an interview that I just did with Kelly Havens, Ohio, at Kelly Havens, Ohio, over on Instagram. If you aren't following her already, she shares the most beautiful, quaint, vintage, antique, handmade little farmhouse. And she also is such a beautiful writer. She puts together these posts that really just inspire you and make you want to go out and explore nature or make something handmade. Everything she shares, it's just one of my favorite follows for sure over on Instagram. So if you aren't yet following her, make sure to go do that. Today we are sharing about finding contentment in your home when it isn't done and when it isn't perfect. I feel like she does this so beautifully. As she lives in a fixer-upper, she just creates these beautiful moments that really allow her family and herself to enjoy their home all through the process. So if you ever felt overwhelmed, like until the projects are all done, I can't enjoy this place. That is what we're talking about here. And I feel like she does find this contentment so beautifully. So let's dive in. My name is Lisa, mom of six and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch, cooking, and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way.
So I thought you'd be the perfect guest for this. I don't know why you just kept popping in my head, because I know you guys have an old farmhouse. Tell me a little bit about it. I don't know exactly the story or how long you guys have been there.
Mm-hmm. So this house, we call it a farmhouse because it is a craftsman style. Well, it's kind of a blend between Victorian and craftsman. But if you were to drive down our street, it's kind of the biggest, most like stately house on the street, because it was built for the foreman of an old glass factory, which is across the street. And they've turned like the old factory buildings into a park, and then they filled in the glass sand pits to make lakes. And so oftentimes I do videos and pictures around those lakes, but it's kind of, the history is really neat. So it's cool that we're in the house that belonged to, you know, the first manager of the factory. I think the factory, it was built like right around 1900. So the house, we couldn't find the official papers or, you know, just the documents to say when it was built, but we guess about 1900. But it was never on a farm. At the same time, like, it would have felt like that because there weren't other houses, so probably had land around it. But right now it is in town. Like, there's houses, you know, all along the street on either side. But because of the features, it just reminds me, you know, of like a classic farmhouse.
Yeah. Well, that's how my last house was. We were on a quarter acre in town, and I called it Farmhouse on Boone because I knew that before, I mean, it was still a house in town always, but it was definitely surrounded by same story as yours. And I just wanted to make it a farmhouse anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I grew up in the suburbs outside DC, and we had like, I don't know, like an eighth of an acre. So we didn't do any gardening or anything here or there, but here I think we have just over a quarter an acre, and our house is pushed to the side of the lot. So we have this huge side yard and then a good backyard. So I knew that we could do some farming type things here.
Yeah. We did in our last house too. There's actually a lot of space with that amount of yard.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you do like planters and you get creative about how to cluster your plants and everything. So,
right. Yes.
But how we found the house is there's this little like red bungalow, really cute house, next to us that was for sale. And I was really pregnant with James, and we were driving to a vacation, and I was in the backseat because I was stretched out, was like, you know, like super pregnant. And we really wanted a house. We were in a tiny house. It was a 200 square foot. It was a little trailer that Levi took it off the wheels, and he built it to be a home on his parents' like land. They had like 7 acres near their house. And so we were really in the country for our first year, but we knew after having a baby, we couldn't fit the two of us and the baby in a tiny house. So I'm like looking on Zillow, like trying to find something small and, you know, cute that needed a little bit of work, but nothing too much. So we go and check out this house, and the realtor is like, well, I'm sorry, but I can show it to you, but it's as of this morning, it's already under contract. And so we're like, man. And then literally we step out after seeing the house and look next door, and there's this house, and it was falling apart. I mean, it looked like it. It looked like a haunted house because it had that really dark, chippy mustard paint. It looked kind of grimacing, but to most people. But to me, it looked like it had a story. Right. It had like the gingerbread at the top and all these old leaded glass windows. And like, we looked at each other and we're like, no one lives in that house. Why don't we just get that house? And we kind of just laughed at each other, you know, like it's probably not salvageable. But we walked around the front yard, and on this little piece of cardboard, it said for sale. And once the realtor left, we immediately called the guy, and it was very, very cheap. And within a week, we had, you know, decided to buy it. And it took a long time to actually get possession of it, because it was complicated as to who owned it, because it was kind of like a bunch of family members that owned it. It was like passed on. But anyway, so we ended up buying it. That was the summer. And then in February, we actually got it. And James was like 3 months old.
That was kind of probably a hard transition.
Yeah. So then we didn't move in right away. I don't know how your house was when you got it. Ours was just not inhabitable at all.
Our house that we have now, it actually, we kind of upgraded from our last house. So even though it's an old house, it was livable. Like, we had some cosmetic things to do, but it was definitely not a fixer upper in the true sense of the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it had probably been lived in
within the last year, and it, yeah. Okay. And they took care of it. Like, it wasn't pretty, but they definitely took care of it. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Our house is, it had been abandoned or, you know, not lived in for so long. It was 15 years that anyone who saw it, like my in-laws, had looked at it too, just because they're so familiar with the area. And they actually own the house on the other side. So there's the red house on the other side, on the one side, and then the other house.
The
other side. It's crazy. Yeah, they bought it when Levi was a boy, and that was the house he learned how to do home restoration in. There's so much meaning in this. And they always thought that house is, you know, like, we'd love to try it, but we think it's too far gone. One time they saw a waterfall of gushing water coming out of the side, like the foundation of one of the side walls. And ever since, my father-in-law was like, you know, that house is going to have structural damage.
Right.
But we looked at it, and it was amazing. It was almost like it was preserved for us. The studs and the roof and all of it was really strong still. And we think it's because of the wood they built with back then. It was redwood, California redwood. So.
Wow.
Really strong.
Yeah, I'm looking at your old pictures now. I didn't realize the paint color it had been before.
Mm-hmm. I kind of miss it sometimes. It was just so charming.
Like, well, but what you have is really pretty. And it's obviously going to preserve it better.
That. Yeah.
Anyways. So you walked into a true fixer-upper, which means that you had to do probably, or you said you had to do quite a bit before you even could move in.
Yeah. So he kind of threw himself into it. I did not see him at all. He would leave our little house at like 6 in the morning, come over and put on like, I forget what it's called, those like shop vac, well, the suits, the, you know, really heavy duty suits. Because of all of the dust and there was lead paint in some of the rooms. And he'd work until 11, went to work, and then he would come back. He had, like, change of clothes here, and he would get back to work, and he'd come home around, you know, 10 p.m. And I had James by myself. I hardly saw him. I would bring him picnic dinners, and we would sit outside. I remember that. So he cranked it out. The biggest thing was the walls and the ceilings, because they had just falling plaster. So he tried to save as much plaster as he could, just because I like the charm of the wrinkled walls.
Yeah, we've got plenty of those.
And then the floors were huge. They were just really nasty. So he
sanded. Could you just sand them, or were they preserved?
He sanded them all the way down to bare wood, because some of them were painted. The one in the bedroom was painted. I think it was. One of them was. And then he restained. So we got, it was just the upstairs that we finished, which I know is unusual, but we figured when you restore, you get all the stuff settling down. So it makes sense to restore the top instead of the bottom first, because if you do the bottom first, then you're working upstairs and it all comes down through the cracks and through the air vents and everything.
You know, I actually know somebody on Instagram who's dealing with that right now.
Really?
So I guess that's a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we moved in like October or something. We bought the house in February. So it was really tight. And he hasn't worked that hard since, because it was taxing on our family.
Right, yeah. Sure. We need little breaks for sure. So that's the question I get a lot from people, is how do you balance all that you need to be, a mother, homemaking, and house projects? How do you guys tackle all of this? And what's your strategy? Like, do you focus on one project at a time, or how do you keep from getting overwhelmed, burnt out? You kind of mentioned that you take breaks.
Mm-hmm. Well, the biggest thing is that we really do it all. Like, we just constantly shift. You're sort of just reading the moment, reading what, I mean, it's all about people. It's about each other. And it's about what we really need. And the good thing is that, like, the way God made us, he made us to be creative, like creators. So we we thoroughly enjoy these projects. So if we do take big breaks, we kind of get that urge to get going again, because it is so fulfilling saving this really old house that, you know, is just gonna rot. But if we focus too long on any one thing, it can get overwhelming, because there's so many decisions. Like with a library, it's such a complicated project. Just figuring out all the details of where's the molding going to go, the color of the wall to match the wallpaper, the fluting on the bookshelves, we're designing ceiling box beams, and they have to be, the drop ceiling has to be low enough to allow for the plumbing above. And so you can get kind of lost in a project and then kind of lose steam, you lose your vision. So it's really good to just start and stop, because then you kind of regain that interest. So that we kind of both operate in that way. Like, I'll spend a morning sewing, and then I'll like put it all away in the corner. And then, you know, I'll go on a hike with the boys. And then in the evening, I'll be like looking in my country books, or, you know, reading poetry and getting ideas for something else, like for James's room that I'm trying to design right now. And
well, yeah, and I feel like too, anytime I rush through something and do it like HGTV style, where you just get it all done, you do miss details. You don't realize that there are some things that just can't come together quickly.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't have the same charm to it. It just all ends up looking the same.
Yeah, and sometimes I draw a blank. Like, I know this space should be a certain way, but I don't know what it is. And, like, for me, that was the stairwell. Like, I knew it needed color. But I just felt like it just wasn't the right time. Like, you could paint any time. We had my brother-in-law do it. So it's not like, you know, we couldn't make it happen. But I was waiting for that vision to really develop in my heart. And then it was, like, when spring came and, like, the skies were just this aqua with these low, sometimes stormy, sometimes golden floating clouds. And I just knew, like, it's got to be aqua. But that That's only funny. Comes from being patient and, like, letting a vision in your mind kind of churn.
Right. And you really do have to enjoy the process of it, because in a way, it'll never fully be done. And I also love how you really capture the beauty, like, in your Instagram feed. You have so many photos of the shabby house behind you with the not peeling off, but like kind of the yellow paint that's not quite in perfect condition, but it does make such a beautiful backdrop. And even all throughout your projects here, like all of your restoration projects, there's still so much beauty to be found in a house that isn't done.
I know. And I want more bravery to share that. 'Cause it's hard to really see what you have done. And even, you know, what it looks like before you begin the work, to see that that's just as beautiful as that thing you have in your mind. I was just telling myself the other day, like, just open your eyes and see what you have done. Like, you know, don't get so antsy for the beauty that you're going to create that you miss the charm of this, like, little makeshift pot rack I have in the corner of our, you know, temporary kitchen in the dining room. because it's beautiful in its own way. So it says that we're living now. You know, we're fully enjoying life with what we have.
I take great care in my home to source products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, the indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code farmhouse and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code farmhouse.
Taking a quick break to tell you about an awesome podcast sponsor, Cozy Earth. I have been sleeping in my Cozy Earth bamboo pajamas every single night. I put them in the washer and dry them so that they're ready again because I cannot wait to go to bed in them. They are just so comfortable. Cozy Earth is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 35% off your order with the code FARMHOUSE. Cozy Earth offers bedding products that will transform your sleep. Currently, I wake up 4 or 5 times every night to nurse the baby, and so it's important to me that I have a comfortable bed to get back into to fall asleep more quickly because my sleep can be so interrupted. Cozy Earth bedding is temperature regulating and it has superior softness. All products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. Incorporating Cozy Earth products into your self-care routine can enhance your sleep quality and overall wellness. Treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear and prioritize your self-care and sleep. You can head on over to CozyEarth.com and use the code FARMHOUSE for an exclusive 35% off. Go get your mom the luxury she deserves at CozyEarth.com with the promo code FARMHOUSE.
Right, yeah. Like I see an old photo where you have the clawfoot tub isn't plumbed in yet, but there's a pretty little vase in the windowsill. It's just, you know, it's still so charming even when it's not done and you're still living your life with your babies because life does go on and you just can't think whenever this is all done, I'll finally be able to enjoy this house because you really probably just won't if you can't enjoy it how it is now.
Yep.
You in your house, you have, I think you were talking about, you have a lot of temporary spaces, little areas in your home that even when it's not done, like you were talking about your makeshift corner in your dining room. I remember doing that when we first moved into our home. It was very livable and comfortable, but it definitely just needed paint on every surface. Mm-hmm. It needed decor. But I just created this little moment in the corner of our dining room. I hung a plate rack and put a tablecloth and a vase. I didn't even have the table that I wanted yet. I had to source that. And I eventually did come across the table I wanted, but I needed somewhere to just feel like, okay, this is a little style I want here in this corner for the rest of the house, but this is all I can have right now because we're moving in. We have boxes, we have kids. I have to make dinner tonight still. I can't stop everything and work on this house. So what kind of temporary spaces or how do you utilize that to enjoy your home?
Yeah, it's funny to hear you talk about a little corner because I use the word nook a lot. I find that I love creating little nooks. And I think really I'm a cottage person. Like if I had to choose between a cottage and like one of those huge old mansions with, you know, three stories and turrets, I would probably choose a cottage. Like the cozy. And so I think that, like, that this, the struggle of not having finished spaces and having to create little ones within rooms that aren't perfect, has really encouraged me to, like, embrace that part of myself that likes that quaint, cozy thing. So yeah, I've kind of done that. Really, if I think about it, it's kind of centered around furniture.
Like, that's what I noticed in your house.
Yeah, like, I'll have, like, one piece of furniture that really anchors everything together. So we have this Victorian little, like, settee couch that we found for free. And so over in that corner, I've got, like, a little antique end table, and I've got some candle, brass candlestick holders.
Which require no electrical work.
And then, like, this, like, print of, like, a water mill. And whenever I'm in that corner, it's like, yeah, this is how someday everything will be just like this. But yeah, it definitely makes it a lot easier to have spaces where you can kind of sit and trust that the rest of the house will evolve to become right, like those spaces are.
Like you said, that really helps you to see what you have done. Like, okay, I created this little moment here where it wasn't before. And eventually, when I find the right piece of furniture, the rest of the house will. But it is just, you have to constantly keep your eyes out, because you have so many antique pieces throughout your house. And I know that those just come together one by one.
They do.
You find this here, you find this there.
Yeah, and you have to accept some blankness for a long time.
Yes. When I first moved into our house, I did a 6-month tour of, like, what all we'd done on my YouTube channel. After 6 months, people were like, the walls are blank, there's nothing on anywhere. I'm like, I don't have anything yet. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And you really don't want to put something there just to have something there, because it's a distraction. It's better to have nothing and just have the gorgeous old floors and whatever trim or light fixtures you have, and then live. And then what I find, like, my rule for decorating is kind of like nature, handmade, or antique. Because I think that those three qualities create that charming home cottagey feel. So oftentimes if I have an empty space, something's going to come up in those three categories. Like Levi's going to make something. Like he will make, he made the coffee table in here, and this, like, it's like a country style, like, 5-board bench is what it's called. But, like, these things just come about as we're just living creatively, or, you know, like my aprons or my dishcloths. And then when you do decorate, there's a story behind everything in your house.
Yeah,
that adds to the charm, instead of just going and just on one thrift store haul buying all this stuff that doesn't mean much.
But I exactly like you. I've never really summed it up quite like that. But yes, natural, antique, and handmade. And like you said, you look around and you're like, oh, I found that oven on Facebook Marketplace. I remember whenever I found that hutch, and it was the perfect width for this little nook that I had.
Yeah, I remember for Thaddeus, we were really in a bind, because we do co-sleeping. So when he was real little, he was with us. But for some reason, he would grunt. He was just, like, really, really loud in the night. And I was just not getting any sleep, and it was really hard. Like, I was like, my Instagram days are over. I can't even carry my camera. My camera's too heavy. So I started praying. I was like, Lord, I need a crib. Like, because we sold our other big crib, because there's a pretty big gap between Daddy and James. It's like, I need something. And I was like, Lord, I really want a Jenny Lind, you know, one of the antique Jenny Lind cribs.
Yes.
And it was the next morning, and I had been searching for months casually every now and then, looking to see if I could find something. But one came up for $35, and it was less than an hour away. And I just went and got it. And now it's in our room. And every single time I see it, I think of how it wasn't there before for so long, and now it's there. And it was because I prayed for it. And
yes,
you know, I don't know. It's just, I couldn't have created that.
You could have bought it, but then you wouldn't, you could have probably, like, found one on eBay for $500, but you wouldn't have that same story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the stories, the needing something and that coming at the right time. That's happened so many times.
Yeah. Same. I have so many things around my house where it was just, eventually I come across, and you know, you have to live in your house too, to find what you even need. So we really do ourselves a disservice when we rush everything and need it to
Exactly.
be finished to enjoy your life, you know?
Yeah.
Also, okay, I noticed in your house that you have a lot of practical decor. Like, this probably is your cottage style, and I absolutely love that style, and sometimes I don't even know how to do it, but you have peg racks, baskets, quilts, beeswax candles, aprons, and so those are things that you add that make these pockets of beauty that don't require any renovating, that are super easy to do.
That probably stems from my lack of experience with renovating. I didn't grow up knowing how to do anything, like any hand tools, any, like, I don't know, just even painting. Because I'm from a military family. So my dad was, you know, he's a full-time doctor. So anytime we did any kind of home construction, we'd hire it out. So, and Levi grew up in the opposite world. Like, you did everything yourself, electric, plumbing, lighting.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, so for me, like, it's still daunting to, like, even hang a picture just to get it, like, you know, just get out the bits and everything. Anyway, so yeah, I think that I've just really enjoyed decorating with things that I use, just that I can move around. But I think it also comes from my love of simpler times, like, you know, when the early settlers in America, when they lived in a log cabin and they did not have any extra money to buy something pretty that wasn't to use.
Right.
Like, you know, to make any decor out of, like, fabric, it would just be what was left over from when they made their dresses or their quilts. And then, you know, they would just hang up all of their kitchen supplies, and the copper and the cast iron became decor, and they were content with that. And I long for that too.
Yeah. And it really is so beautiful, and it looks effortless, but in a way, you know, that there's a lot of intention behind all of it.
Yeah. And cause you can't have things in your home that aren't beautiful. Like, well, I mean, not everything has to be beautiful. Like, that's
when a trap you fall into.
Like, yeah. Cause I could sometimes be like, no plastic. But you don't want to be legalistic with it. It's more just that, like, if you're going to buy something, you might as well make the things that you use every day lovely things that make your heart smile to look at or to hold.
Yeah. I recently swapped out something small, but I swapped out our broom. I have this yellow broom with this red dustpan. And I was like, you know what? Why don't I have the straw or, like, whatever they are? Because why not? It's a broom. It's going to function. And it does. It's the one I have is, I found it on Etsy. Somebody made it. Actually, I think they made it, I don't know, somewhere in America. But it functions great. And it's also pretty. It just makes sense. Why not?
I know. I remember when I was really pregnant with Daddy, and I found this antique ironing board. And it was just a wood ironing board. And I don't know what they would have done, because it wasn't covered. So I spent like 3 days trying to figure out how to sew an ironing board cover, like with this huge belly leaning all over on the floor cutting the fabric. But now it's like, it's a decor piece. I think you can see it in one of my pictures, but it's like got this like this pink calico fabric, and it ties the room together, and it's an ironing board.
Right. And that's the only way to do an ironing board, because personally, I don't have an ironing board because I would have to get it out every time.
Yeah.
If it's something that's pretty. And it would just be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's also something to be said for taking care of what you own. This is something I was thinking about recently, because when we moved into our house, like I said, everything was functional. So there was three very comfortable, very nice bathrooms, but everything in them was ugly. And I say was, but it is still is. We haven't even touched them. But for the longest time, I didn't deep clean the sink because I was like, oh, we're going to get a new vanity. We're gonna get a new suit. And then finally I was like, okay, like 6 months, a year in, like, okay, I need to make this thing shine because it's what I have. You know?
And you don't even know if you're gonna have it tomorrow. That's the thing. Like, I think it does really honor the Lord to make something beautiful out of what he has given you. It's funny you mentioned the sink, because the sinks are the same thing for us. I feel like sinks are the last thing you really do.
Yeah. Well, probably because I want something really charming and I just don't want to go to Lowe's and buy it. Yeah, I could do that. We'd have a new vanity, but I'm not going to do that. So we still have the same sink.
Yeah. And the main thing is to have running water.
So exactly.
Like you got running water and it's like, okay, then it can wait.
Yep, exactly. It functions great. All three bathrooms function just fine. And so I just need to shine them up and take care of what we have, even if it's not exactly how you want it. You know, you can power wash the concrete porch that you hope to cover with wood someday, or, you know, just taking care of it.
Yeah, I think the thing with these, like, you know, the temporary spaces and taking care of what you have, I think it's like you got to find a way to, like, fulfill your vision in some way with what you have. So I've always loved Sarah from Barton Farms.
Me too. Yeah.
Her kitchen sink with the curtain.
Yes.
So I want Levi to. I want us to find a wall mount sink and then, have him build those pedestal legs, like the carved legs. Makes it look like it's like a little lady, person sink. I don't know. And then like the skirt, you know, that goes in the bottom. So when we did our temporary kitchen in the dining room, Levi just picked up a laundry sink. It's just a heavy duty, thick plastic laundry sink, but it's white. So it does kind of remind you of, you know, the cast iron, farmhouse type sink. But I remember like when I saw it, I was like, okay, I know it's plastic, but I'm going to go ahead and make my dream, curtain for it.
I actually just found that photo.
My gathered apron, apron skirt. So I worked really hard on it, and now I love my little plastic sink.
Yeah, it actually looks really charming.
And so, yeah, I don't see it and think, oh, I can't wait until we have a real porcelain or cast iron one, because, you know, I've kind of bonded with this little plastic one.
Right. That's a perfect example of taking care of what you have. I did the same thing in our little ugly vanity. I took off the doors and made a little curtain for it. And it's definitely not perfect. It's just like a 80s sink. So it's not great, but I did the same thing. Like, you know what? Fine. I'm not getting my sink for a while. Just haven't found it. And this is how I can make what I have pretty. Or like you adding a beeswax candle to maybe a part of your house that you don't love, but at least you have that charm there.
Yep. That reminder of, what we hope for someday, being able to have bees and make our own candles. It's amazing how a single object can trigger all of these dreams and aspirations and promises. Because I feel in a way like, there's kind of just like a promise that's been spoken to me since like I was little, like one day you're gonna have a country property and it's gonna be hard, but it's gonna be beautiful. And so when I have like a thing like a beeswax candle, it just reminds me that, you know, the journey's not over. Like you can work, but work contentedly and work with an inner peace, knowing that you're going somewhere, even if it takes, you know, many, many, many days.
Yeah. Or years.
Yeah.
And also in your little, you know, town house, baking something from scratch.
Yes.
That is all things that you're going to need someday that you can just live that lifestyle right now, and gardening all right where you are.
Yeah. It's amazing what you can do.
Yeah, that's exactly where we were when we had two little kids. And actually, until we had five kids, was when we finally moved out to our property now.
Okay.
So we lived 10 years in town, and I did, just like you, sewing, gardening, all the things just on my little quarter acre.
Yeah.
Chickens. Yeah.
It's so encouraging to me. I feel like this is something that the Lord has been doing in a lot of homemakers. Like, you see this movement on Instagram, like, you know, suburban homesteading. I think that's kind of something he's teaching us. It's like, just start now, plant the seeds now.
And then we forget that some people are older, you know, like I'm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
this is where I was too, when I was, you know.
Yeah. You're like, why am I not there? And this, and I think it's because we know our potential. Like I can see what I could do, what I could create and become. Like I have a longing to make a cookbook. to, you know, put all the knowledge I've gained of how these different ancient grains and paleo recipes work and share them with the world. Because I know that our bodies thrive so much better on these wholesome foods or whole foods. So I want to do that, but I feel like it's not quite, I'm not there yet. And I have to be content just being in this childlike playing, learning stage.
Right, because you'll really have something to offer whenever you get to that point because of all that you're doing now. And I sometimes have to fight myself when I think, you know, what am I just going to keep talking about this and never do it, even though it's just not the time. Yes, I'm doing what I need to be doing for that goal right now. That doesn't mean I'm just saying I'm never going to actually do it, because
it's not laziness, it's obedience. And
exactly. Right. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, this is, you know, people always talk about goals and never do them. It's like, well, but there's times when that's just, you know, part of the process. Mm-hmm. For sure. Okay. So one more thing I had to talk about was getting outside. I know that you're a huge, you talk a lot about getting outside. Looks like you guys get outside through all the seasons. You just bundle up. And I really think that that helps to get our minds off of, sometimes we get hyper-focused on this tiny little house we live in and how we're going to make it absolutely perfect. And we forget that there's this world to enjoy right outside our doors.
I know. Yeah. I love what Charlotte Mason says about how you should never spend an hour inside when you could be outside. I read that and it was like so convicting. Like we were made to be in a garden. Like our bodies are made of are made of earth, wind, and sky. Like it's just part of who we are. And I think that you really can't even create the home that you want, that's going to make you happiest, unless you kind of get filled up by the beauty of what's outside.
So true.
Find the greens and the blues and all of the detail. Like I love, you know, furniture with detail. And if you look at trees and blossoming flowers or, you know, just all the detail of what's in creation, that's where all that desire to make your home just as charming and inviting as nature comes into play. So that's one way where it really helps homemaking.
Do you find it a chore? Like sometimes you don't want to, you know, because I feel like people think, oh, maybe you're just an outside person, but probably with little kids, there's times when you think I'd rather
So it is hard because I mean, it's just the practical thing of like, we don't live near these trails. I think the closest one is like maybe like 5 minutes away, in the car, but I mean, you're packing up a 3-year old and a baby. And you got to have the diapers and the wipes and the snacks and the water and all the bonnets, are, you know, because it's windy oftentimes out in these meadows. But the thing that pushes me out there is the feeling when I'm there or when I come back where I never regret it. Like there's always some discovery you make or some shift in heart. Like you're talking about kind of like remembering what matters. I find that I feel lighter, like, you know, you can just relax a little bit more. There's this peace out in nature that you can't help but you just sort of soak it up. And it's sometimes it's hard to remember that that's how you're going to feel.
Right.
But I think
a lot of people get far removed from it. You know, I get busy in my house. And so I know I have that feeling when we go on a hike, but I forget in between times how valuable that is.
I know. And also it helps to read. You want to read like pioneer stories, like stories where people lived in harsh climates, and think about the extent to which they would have to, you know, do these farm chores every single day. Just to live, you know, just to, you know, have food and have warmth. When you think about that, when that's in your mind, it's much easier to just do the grunt work of putting on a bunch of layers to go on a walk, you know? we really have it easy.
We don't even have to go outside. We're just going to go out for the purpose of enjoying.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. What a blessing that is, just to go on a hike, just to enjoy it.
Right. Yes. That is such a good point. I feel like that could be a whole podcast episode on its own.
I know.
I just felt it worked with contentment of your home, because sometimes you just need to get out of your home.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about where we can find you and your Etsy shop. I know you sell and sew skirts and aprons. It seems like though, as soon as you sew them, they sell, right?
Yeah, it is really interesting to me. That was something that was really hard for me to get going on because, as I'm sure if you guys have been following me, I am a thinker. I love writing and dreaming and thinking about God. And so it's hard for me sometimes to get out of my head into my hands and to make beautiful things. But I know that's part of my calling. And so for a while I was praying, like, Lord, what would you have me make? Like, do you want me to be making quilts or pottery? Because I did that for a while. But he just kept bringing like sewing to mind, like garments. And just thinking about our culture and where it is today in the fashion industry, there just doesn't seem to be a lot of clothing that is very, very feminine and modest, but that's not plain, that has personality, just like nature has personality. The Bible talks about how the fields are clothed with lilies. I long to wear things that are feminine, but that just have so much character. So I started making these prairie skirts, and I think they're doing well because I mean, they're modest, but they're just very like very very whimsical. Yeah, it's I wish that our culture was eager to bring in the features that distinguished, women's clothing for so long, like the puff sleeves and the gathers and the lace. So I'm having a lot of fun doing something that really hasn't been done that much yet. I feel like I'm kind of forging new territory, and I know a lot of other smaller shops are doing the same, like Little Women
And people seem
Atelier.
to be here for it. I mean, like I notice every time you post about it, they're gone within quickly.
It's really exciting. I don't really know fully like where the Lord's going to take it, but it's just been constantly taking just walking in faith and figuring out eventually how to make more, because it probably takes me maybe 2 hours per skirt, which it's hard because I'm used to like studying and writing and reading during those times, and I really have to just trust that this is really important to help women and homemakers have clothing that makes them feel beautiful and feel free and reminds them of simpler times.
Yeah, you definitely capture that.
Anyway, so the link to my Etsy is in, I just keep it in my bio. Just so you can get there pretty quickly, but it's also called Kelly Havens, Ohio. So, but
Yeah, you
usually
search.
it's empty, and I wish they would show, the listings that have already sold out. But
Yeah, I guess you
it's
can
on
look
there.
at
It's just hard
the
to find.
sales.
Yeah.
If you go through the sales, you can just see like what kind of stuff that you offer.
But I won't stop doing that. I will press on as long as I feel called to do that. Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, well, thank you so much for joining me on this discussion. I feel like it was a good one. It'll help people to maybe think about things a little bit differently if they are in the middle of, everybody's in the middle of a house they don't find perfect, right? I mean, I think that even if you're not living in a fixer-upper, that's probably, finding contentment is always going to be something that's a challenge for people.
Yeah, you want to always look at what you've done and appreciate the beauty that you've made, but then let yourself dream a little, and be willing to say, hey, this could be more charming, and give yourself that freedom to try something new.
All right, well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. I hope that you were inspired. I know I was. I was ready to go outside, explore nature, make something, bake something, and really just continue on the process and enjoying it and stepping back and taking breaks when necessary. I hope that you felt the same. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast.